right, we're starting a new series today on friendship. Friendship is so vital to our lives, and I believe that it is a timely message, for we all stand in need of friends, and I believe that they are necessary to our lives, and the scriptures have so much to say to us about friendships. You know, most of us here today want a better future for ourselves. Would you agree? We want a better future. You know, I have some long-term plans of what I would like to see in my life, some goals I would like to achieve, but I also have some short-term plans, some short-term things, like this evening. I can't wait to see myself sitting down on the couch in my pajamas with a sandwich. I just can't wait, right? I'm looking forward to that. But some of you might have some dreams, a future that is far more deep than mine. Maybe you want to have such a deep and profound relationship with God that you hear him every day of your existence. Maybe you want a relationship with him so profound that you're walking in step with him every minute of every day. So, if that is your goal, if that is what you're looking for, the best thing that you can do is to read the Holy Scriptures and to apply them to your life each and every day. That is the best way to achieve that goal. But there is a tool that you can use to accelerate that and get to that goal a whole lot faster. There's a tool that you can use to get to all of your goals, all of your accomplishments, to reach what your destination is a whole lot faster with a whole lot more power. And that tool is friendship. To have a friend, to have someone in your corner, to have someone who is looking out for you, to have someone who is there, no matter if times are good or times are bad, no matter if you're sick or if you're well, somebody who is always looking out for you, they will help you to get to where you want to be a whole lot faster and a whole lot better. Because we are, watch this, our destiny is tied to our friendships. You are who you are because of who you surround yourself with or who you don't surround yourself with. You are who you are beyond what you determine or think you want to be for yourself. Whoever you connect with actually takes you in the direction that you will actually go. If you don't believe me, I believe the King Solomon has a lot to say about this. He says it in this way in Proverbs chapter 13, verse 20. He says, walk with the wise and become wise, for a companion of fools suffers harm. In other words, he's saying, show me your friends and I'll show you your future. Throughout the book of Proverbs, which is a book in the Bible, it is absolutely jam-packed with wisdom. It is the book of wisdom, if you will. It is full of ideas and profound thoughts on wisdom. But I believe that the King Solomon, who wrote this book, actually has a concurrent theme in that book that actually will help us, if we understand this theme, to get to the place of wisdom. And that theme is that true friendships lead us to wisdom. If you don't believe me, let's take a look at a few passages of scripture. Actually, Proverbs chapter 17, verse 17 tells us that a friend loves at all times, and a brother is born for a time of adversity. Chapter 18, verse 24 says, one who has unreliable friends soon comes to ruin. But there is a friend who sticks closer than a brother. Chapter 27, verse 5 and 6 says, better is open rebuke than hidden love. Wounds from a friend can be trusted, but an enemy multiplies kisses. Chapter 28, verse 23 says, whoever rebukes a person will in the end gain favor, rather than one who has a flattering tongue. And many of us, whether we are Christian or not, whether we are followers of Jesus or not, have heard this phrase before. It comes from Proverbs chapter 27, verse 17. It says, as iron sharpens iron, so one person sharpens another. How many of you keep in touch with your high school friends? High school, you kept in touch with them. Awesome. How many of you kept in touch with your college friends? Your college friends? All right. There's a few. Dude, I try my best to keep in touch with my college buddies. Here's a picture of us just this past summer in August. I got back to see my friends from the Morgan State University, HBCU in Baltimore, Maryland. Now, I go back every year to, one, see my mama, because I'm a mama's boy. And I'm going to go and see my mama. I'm going to see about my mama. But number two, I make it a priority to see my friends. Because I want to not just call them. I don't want to just text them. I want to be in person. I want to maintain the friendship. I want to develop and make sure that that's continuously growing throughout our lives until we are no longer here. You see, with social media, it's easy to remain connected to people from our past. But how many of those people can you really consider a true friend? If I was to take a poll right now to ask you, how many people in here have friends? So many of us will raise our hands and say, yes, I have all the friends in the world. Just look at my Facebook page. I have all the friends in the world. Just look at my followers on Instagram. I have all of the friends in the world. Well, if we have so many friends, then why are we so lonely? Earlier this year, Surgeon General Dr. Vivek Murthy issued a warning that the U.S. is experiencing an epidemic of loneliness and isolation, especially among young people in their teens and their 20s. And there are physical consequences to loneliness, actually, that is comparable to smoking 15 cigarettes a day. Let me give you a few of them, right? It includes a 29% increase risk of heart disease, a 32% increased risk of stroke, a 50% increased risk of developing dementia. Lest you think it's a young person's problem, no. All across America, we have been in a friendship decline over the last few decades. There's facts to let us know about this. Matter of fact, this article was published in the New York Times May 7th of 2022. It said, how many friends do we actually need? And here's a quote from that article. It said, 3 decades ago, 3% of Americans told Gallup pollsters they had no close friends. Only 3%. But in 2021, an online poll put it at 12%. That is a 300% increase, folks. We're going the wrong way. About a year into the pandemic, 13% of women and 8% of men aged 30 to 49 said they'd lost touch with most of their friends. Is it hitting home yet? According to friendship and belonging expert, her name is Dr. Marissa Franco. She believes that friendship does not happen organically in adulthood. As a matter of fact, here's a quote from her. She says, the belief that they happen organically can hinder our chances of making friends. One study found that believing that friendship happens based on luck was related to more loneliness 5 years later, whereas believing that friendship takes effort was related to less loneliness. Why? Because those who believe that friendship takes effort actually put the effort in. Those who believe that friendship takes effort actually showed up at the events. They not only showed up at the events, but they made connections at the events. They didn't stand in the corner and wait for somebody to come and say hello. They said hello. They reached out to shake a hand, to introduce themselves to someone else. And they were the ones with friends 5 years down the road. Some of us rely on a negative belief. As I talk to more people, as I get to know more people here in the Twin Cities, there's a thought and understanding that no matter what I do, I'll never make friends. Or no matter how hard I try, I won't get the mate. Or I'm getting too old and I will never see that friend, that lifelong friend, or that person that I thought that I would have. Listen, your words have power. And those things become a self-fulfilling prophecy over your life. God said in Proverbs chapter number 18, verse 21, that life and death are in the power of the tongue. Stop speaking that negative stuff over your life. Get up in the morning and look in the mirror and say, I am a success. Get up in the morning and look in the mirror and say, I will accomplish my goal. Get up in the morning and say, I will meet that special someone or that friend. I will connect with someone and have lifelong friends in my lifetime. Speak positively over your life. Feel my help coming. If you want to make friends as an adult, the research shows, the evidence is there. You've got to put yourself out there. You've got to step out. You've got to say hello. You've got to go to the event that your other friends or associates keep inviting you to, but you keep saying, no, I'd rather sit back and watch Disney Plus. No, you got to get off your butt and go. If somebody keeps inviting you and you keep turning them down, you will eventually stop getting the invites. Yeah. And you will be alone. We all require social connection. That is how God designed each one of us. Genesis chapter 2, verse 18 says it best, says that we were not created to be alone. As a matter of fact, God said everything from Genesis 1 to Genesis 2, verse 17, all of that stuff was good that he created. He said, oh, that's good, that's good, that's good, that's good, that's good. He get to Genesis 2:18, he said, oh, that's not good. It's not good for us to be alone. He didn't create you for loneliness. He didn't create you for isolation. What is friendship? Friendship is a commitment, a relationship out of compassionate love. We read it earlier. Let's go back and review. Chapter 17, verse 17 said, a friend loves at all times. That's constancy. The next verse said, a friend sticks closer than a brother. That's loyalty. Wounds from a friend can be trusted. That is compassion. Iron sharpens iron. Watch this. That is tension and friction. Every one of your friendships, every one of your deep relationships needs some friction, needs some tension. If you get up and run away from every relationship that has some tension, has some friction, then you're not looking for a good relationship. Because we need those things to hold on to and to grow together. Have you ever tried to climb a mountain? Well, let me give you some advice. Brother Louie, because I have amoeba. I've climbed hills and stuff like that. But if you're climbing a mountain, you don't want to climb a smooth side of a mountain because there's nothing to hold on to. You need the rough side of the mountain. You need some rocks and some stuff that's going to scrape your knees and some stuff that's going to scrape your elbows and cut you up. At the end of the day, you're going to need some Band-Aids, but at the end of the day, you reach the top of the mountain and you are successful. You need some friction in your life. Somebody told me this week they love that verse, iron sharpens iron, because when you see iron colliding with iron, it creates sparks. Oh, God, and especially in a marriage, you need some sparks in your life to keep it hot, baby. You need some sparks. If you ain't got no sparks, sit down on my couch. We can have a conversation. But you need some sparks in your life. And if you run away from the sparks, you haveth no relationship. In my best King James. In the first century, the culture of the first century Middle Eastern culture, the New Testament culture, was familial relationships were primary. Your mama, your daddy, your cousin and them. All of they were your primary relationships. You dropped everything when your mama came calling. Right? That's that culture. In 2023, 21st century, westernized culture, right here and now, our primary relationships and focus are erotic and romantic relationships. Oh, yeah. You can't even go through the grocery store without seeing the magazines at the checkout line. You can't go online, get on the internet, get on any social media without being bombarded with messages that you need an erotic relationship. You need some type of physical sexual relationship because we worship that in this country. That has become our God. But Jesus Christ is countercultural. He sticks in the nasty here and now and in the messy middle. Jesus Christ doesn't swing to either side of the pendulum. Jesus Christ is right here in the middle. Watch this. He's not familial. He's not erotic and romantic. Jesus Christ prioritizes friendships. Why would he prioritize friendships? Because friendships are committed relationships of compassionate love that you choose to enter into. It's a choice if I stick around with you. And if I hang around with you and I stick around with you, that's a real friend right there. If you got somebody who stick with you even though you sick, even though you messed up, and even though you falling short, even though you called them a name and, oh, you shouldn't have done that, and they still stick with you, that's a friend. That's somebody you better hold on to. But if you got somebody that runs every time they see, oh my goodness, I got to get out of here because I don't like what's going on, that's not a friend. Let them go. They're not good for you anyway. You're better off without them. Jesus prioritizes friendships over familial relationships. Matthew chapter 12, verse 48 tells us about that. Tells us the story of Jesus hanging out with his friends. He's chilling with his friends, talking, hanging out, and all of a sudden somebody comes in the room and says, hey, Jesus, your mama and them outside. Jesus, your brothers, they want to talk to you. You better drop everything and go talk to them. Jesus said, who is my mother? I could hear Yvonne, my mama in Baltimore right now, ready to pull me to the side. What do you mean? Who is your mama? My mama stand 5 foot tall, but she will say, I still take you across my knee. Mom, 40-some years old. That's my mama. But Jesus points to his disciples and says this in verse 49. Here are my brothers and my mother, for whoever does the will of my Father in heaven is my brother, my sister, and my mother. Jesus prioritizes friendships because friends choose to stick with you. If you don't hear anything else I say today, I want you to leave at least with this one chunk. Don't forget this, that you were created for more. You were created for more than your isolation. You were created for more than your loneliness. You were created for more than just being alone. You were created for more than just going along to get along. God created you to belong. He created you and made you for community. God made you and crafted you for friendship, for relationship. You were made that way. You know why he made you that way? Because he's made that way. Or he is that way. Let me put it that way. God has always been in relationship. God has always been in friendship. They exist as three, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, always together since the beginning and will be forever. And he has such a compassionate relationship for the three, for the triune council, that he wants us to experience the same. Friendship comes from God. And so it's valuable for us to study God theology so that we can understand then how to be friends and how to make friendships, how to get into friendships and stick with them like Jesus did. Let's look at his example. The first thing we see is that Jesus Christ was incarnate. It means he was in person. It means he showed up in the flesh. We all know John chapter 3, verse 16 said, folks, God so loved the world that he gave his only son, that whoever believed in him should not perish but would have eternal life. Then in John chapter 1, verse 1, it says that in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was God, and the Word was with God. And then down to verse 14, it says, and that Word became flesh and did what? Dwelt among us. See, Jesus Christ took a step toward those he wanted to make his friend. Jesus Christ got closer to those who he wanted to be close to him. Who are you hanging around and getting close to? Who are you stepping toward? Who are you being proximate to? And that is who you want to be your friend. He was incarnate. He was in person. He took a first step toward those he wanted to make his friends. And you must show up if you want to have friends. You should show up to church if you want to make friends. It's hard to make friends when you come once a month. There's no constancy. We've just read about that. Chapter 17, verse 17. There's no consistency. There's no loyalty when it's here today, gone tomorrow. I'm not here to offend or condemn anybody. I'm just trying to get you to understand what Jesus Christ is trying to get us to understand. He wants us to enjoy this life. And we wonder why we're so lonely. You got to show up to your kids' sporting events. And guess what? Not just sit there and cheer your kid on, yeah, 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 because you know they're not going too good anyway. They tripping and falling all over the place. Just your presence is enough. Then you sit down and go over next to Susie over here, and you introduce yourself to Susie. And you see John over here, you introduce yourself to John, and you say hello, and you start building friendships out there in the bleachers. Yeah. Wherever you go, introduce yourself to somebody. We are more connected than ever. We have Facebook, Instagram, Snapchat, Twitter. I'm going to still call it Twitter. I don't care what Elon say. Because I'm not sending an X to anybody. Sound like I'm about to get arrested. Dateline NBC. Pastor Dawkins sent an X to a 14-year-old. Oh, my God. I don't need that in my life. Jesus. I'm sorry. Twitter. We have thousands of connections on social media. Matter of fact, I just went to look it up. I said, how many friends do I have on just Facebook? I went to Facebook and I looked. It was over 2,000 friends. I said, man, I'm doing good. Wow. 2,000 friends? Right? I looked up, what's the average Facebook user? How many friends does the average Facebook user have? And it said 300. I said, psh, I'm blowing these folk out of the water. So I look through them names. I'm like, I don't know these people. Who is this? God help me. But what is the difference between those connections and true friendship? I believe, one, that it is incarnation, being in person, being in the flesh. But two, Jesus showed us that it's being intentional. Being intentional. Being intentional means to be deliberate, to be purposeful. You see, Jesus was intentional about every person that he hung out with, every group that he hung out with, every person that he healed, every person that he delivered, every person that he invested in was intentional. Mark chapter 2, verse 15 tells us that Jesus was having dinner over at Levi's house. And it said that the text tells us that he was having dinner with the sinners and the tax collectors. Right. And then the religious folks showed up. The religious folks showed up like, I knew he wasn't the Son of God. All that stuff that he been saying about he holy. He not holy. Look at him hanging out with those people. If you have a friend that's still calling people those people, I ain't gonna tell you what to do with the friendship, but they ain't gonna be my friend. They said, why would he be hanging out with those people? And what did Jesus say, verse 17? He says, it is not the healthy who need a doctor, but the sick. I have not come to call the righteous, but sinners. He intentionally put himself in position to help or connect with the people who he wanted to connect with. He invited himself to tables and to people's houses that of people that he wanted to be with. I want these people to be my friends, so I'm going to go hang out with them. If you're still hanging over there and you're still making terrible relationships, you're like, man, why I keep making terrible relationships? Stop hanging out over there. Hang out over here. It's some other places to hang out. Jesus was intentional. I'm going to tell you, skip to this. We want to be more intentional. How can we be more intentional like Jesus? I'm going to just drop these on you real quick. Number one, ask God to highlight who he wants you to talk to. Right? You can be intentional by introducing yourself to a set number of people. You can say, I'm going to go to church every week, and every week I'm not going to be the first one out the back door. I'm going to stop, and I'm going to actually say hello and introduce myself to one person that I don't know every week, right? Or set your own goal. Like, hey, I'm an introvert, so, you know, I'm going to do once a month just to get started. I hear you. I feel you. I feel the energy in the room. Maybe, watch this, try new things. One of the staff members said, yeah, I try new things. I know, I'm sorry, y'all. Hold on one second. One of my staff members said, yeah, I tried a new thing. I got a new pet, and that opened up a whole new world to me because I was able to talk to some other people who had pets too. Right? I have a friend who reads broadly. I mean, he reads everything from tech magazines to business journals to pop culture to sports. And I'm like, why do you do that? He says, so I can have a conversation with anyone. I have talking points now. Throw these out there really quickly. Talk to somebody about the future, right? Maybe you'll find some common ground, or just ask questions. Don't make the conversation all about you. That's a definite recipe to not have a friend. Well, you know, I, me, myself, and I. You know, I did this and I did that. And they'd be like, yeah, we won't be talking next week. You don't care nothing about me. Final point is this. Jesus was also invitational. Invitational. We can learn a whole lot from Jesus' example. He, watch this, invited himself to places where he wanted to connect with people. He invited himself to other people's houses. Now, don't show up at my house. I know some of y'all know where I live, right? Because I'm not going to answer. I got the ring. I got the ring. I can look. Oh, well, I see who it is. I'm just kidding. I'm just messing with you. That was a joke. Hopefully you laugh. Because some of y'all are like, oh, he's weird, man. Anyway, Jesus not only invited himself places, but he also invited people into different levels of friendship with himself. Watch this. Everybody he invited into a relationship was not into a close and deep, intimate relationship. Stop opening all your doors and windows and showing all your cards to everybody who comes in your life. Everybody's not for you. That's a word for somebody here. Everybody's not for you. Jesus Christ invited 12 dudes to follow him, and one of them was named Judas. You think he didn't know who Judas was? He the Son of God. He know who Judas is. But Judas is in his circle, but Judas wasn't intimate. His intimate friends were Peter, James, and John. He had close relationships of those people he could trust, those people that he invested in, those people he spent time with. Watch this. One study I read says that it takes 200 hours for a person to become your intimate relationship or intimate friend. You need to invest 200 hours. Don't be letting people all close to you until you better count the time. You got to make an investment, and they got to make an investment. All right, one thing that I love about Jesus is that he always took the initiative to be the inviter. And I know my time is up, Jesse. Let me read this last thing, and then the worship team could come up. It's Luke chapter 14, verse number 12. It says this in the Passion Version. Then Jesus turned to his host and said, "When you throw a banquet, don't just invite your friends, relatives, or rich neighbors, for it is likely they will return the favor. It is better to invite those who never get an invitation." There are some people who could really use an invitation from you. There's some people who could, they're waiting for you to set the agenda, for you to reach out to them and say, "Hey, can we hang out at a sporting event? Hey, can we go to dinner?" They're waiting for an invitation from you. You know, there's some people who come to the Twin Cities every year to study, and they come from countries far and wide. And right around this time, say about October, November, it gets cold and dark. And people from hotter climates, they think that is this the right place? Did I choose the right place? They could use a friend. They could use a friend. There's an organization we've connected with called the Hospitality Center. And what they do is they connect international students with families, especially during this Thanksgiving season, right, where you can invite somebody to your table and be a friend, represent Jesus Christ. There's a person in our audience today. His name is Arun, and we want to show you his little testimony about the impact that an invitation had on him and his friend. So would you check this out?
Hi, I'm Arun Kumar. I'm from India. So I started my master's for data analytics in this fall intake at Concordia University, St. Paul. And, you know, back in India, I was a little worried about accommodation to stay. So I got connected with Hospitality Center. One of my friends has sent me the link of Hospitality Center. And, you know, I got accommodation from Rand, who is a member in Hospitality Center. And he hosted me for 5 days. So he was very kind and so generous to receive us. So this is how the Christ love can be shown to the people who are unreached. So one of my friends is from a Hindu background, and he was literally surprised by the love of Rand shown to him. So this is what we expect from a Christian, right?
So we praise God for Brother Arun. He's right there in the balcony right there. You can meet him right after service. But I would love to introduce you to Josh Driver, who is the executive director of the Hospitality Center. He'll tell you a little bit more about it.
Thank you, Pastor Gary. And thank you, Mercy, for hosting us here today. For 31 years, we have welcomed international students to the Twin Cities at the Hospitality Center, sharing the love of Jesus to them, because their number one need is a sense of belonging. It literally works today with what you're sharing, Pastor Gary. They feel isolated from the domestic community. No matter if they're undergrad or Korean or graduate student, which we have a lot of, that's what they tell us. And so we exist to say, hey, you can find a friend because there are people here. There are Christians, there are churches, there are volunteers who will love you, that you are away from your traditions, you're away from your family, we're here. So we set the table for those students to say you can find community, and we invite and ask churches and volunteers, would you be that community? Because it's in that friendship and in that community that we see most lives changed, because we're giving of our lives and of the gospel. It flows through us in those two ways. So we're happy to be here, happy to express that invitation and answer any questions and explore with us out back after this service. So thank you.
Yeah, thank you for being here. Absolutely. Thank you for your ministry. Listen, you can talk to Josh, you can talk to Arun. Right after service, they'll be right in the cafe at the table that says Hospitality Center, and ask any questions that you have about that. Listen, I'd love for you to take a next step with me this week. If you grab your Connect card, at the bottom, there's a line that says My Next Step. I'm going to ask you to think about these three steps. Which one of these do you need to grow in or actually take an action in this week? Do you need to be more in person, more incarnate, more present with your friends? Do you need to start thinking and acting intentionally, taking some of those steps that I gave? Or maybe you need to offer an invitation. You need to stretch and offer an invitation to someone this week. Would you take a moment and just write one of those words down? That's your commitment today to God to say, hey, yes, God, I am committing to grow in this area. And at the end of the service, you can drop that in the black boxes at the back of the sanctuary. I'm going to invite you to stand with me at this time. As the worship team plays and sings, I just want to invite you at this time. Listen, maybe you're here today and you were looking for a different kind of message. You were like, I wasn't expecting to get my feelings plucked. You know, I didn't know it was going to talk about friendship and my loneliness and those areas where I ache. If that's you today, if you are in a period of loneliness, maybe you feel alone. Maybe you feel isolated, or maybe you've isolated yourself. I think that God is speaking directly to your heart today. And he's inviting you to come and be free. He wants you to come to the front as your step of faith. That God, yes, I'm taking a step forward, and I'm expecting you to meet me here at the altar. We have prayer team members that will come and put their hand on your shoulder and pray with you about anything that you have going on in your life, but especially that. Maybe you're feeling the burden of being alone. Maybe you don't have a friend. Maybe you're on that edge and you just want to, but you need the courage to take a step. I believe God wants to do something with you today as well. So the worship team will sing. Prayer team, I pray that you would come on up forward to the front and pray with anyone that comes forward. Please take this time to engage in prayer. And I'm going to, Garrett, I'm going to close it out so you can do your thing, so I'm not interrupting. So I'm going to say a prayer of closing. And this time right now is your time to pray with the prayer teams, to worship God, to really connect and listen to what the Holy Spirit is saying to you. Holy Spirit, would you come? Have your way. Right now, God, would you move in a mighty way? Rock, Holy Spirit. Would you be the wind that blows in this room right now, from person to person, that you would show us your glory, you would rest heavily on our shoulders. God, in those areas where we've fallen short or we are not all that we want to be or should be, God, would you meet us in this moment right now? Would you break the boundary of fear that that's been holding us back from being all that you want us to be, all that you're calling us to be. God, you said that you have a great life, life and life abundantly ahead for us. Let us step into that life today and take you and your word seriously. God, as we leave this place today, bless our families. Bless those relationships that we already have and those that you are preparing for us to enter into. God, have your way in our lives. In the mighty name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. Amen. God bless you.